Tonight's shir, Parshas Korach. Chazal say, V'ikach Korach, what did Korach take? Lakach mekach ra la'atzmo. Took him for himself a bad mekach, a mekach ra. The Ben Ish Chai brings a couple of ramazim over here. Says that wealth, osher, can be good, it can be bad. Says you take the word ashir, somebody who's a rich man, an ashir. How do you spell ashir? Ayin shin yud resh. Ashir is made, therefore, up of two words, yesh and ra. Make the cheshbon. Now, yesh is a remez to olam haba. Where do we know that from? From the end of Shas, Uktzin, the last Mishnah, right? Hashem is going to give to the tzaddikim, l'chol tzaddik v'tzaddik, shai olamos. As it says, l'hanchi lo'ohava yesh. Besides being a store where you buy food, yesh also therefore means olam haba. And therefore, if a person uses his money properly, then they can take him to olam haba, can be yesh. If he uses it improperly, then ra. Take him, use it for olam hazeh, then it's ra. And Mele, Korach was a very wealthy man, Chazal said. It was ashir. The problem was, instead of taking the yesh, right, the olam haba, what did he take? The ra. He took the bad part. Mele lakach ra le'atzma. Another remez says that osher is spelled ayin vav shin resh. Ayin vav in gematria is 76. 76 is evid. And what remains is the two other letters, sin or shin and resh. That spells sar, a ruler. So a person has two choices. He can either be Ayin Vav, 76, an Evid to his money, or he can control himself, control his money, and be a Sar. That's an Osher, either an Evid or a Sar. Pasuk says, Datan Vaviram b'nei Eliyah, ve'on ben Peles b'nei Ruvein. So who was On Ben Peles, and why was he called On Ben Peles? So On Ben Peles, Chazal tell us, he was called On Ben Peles. On is Lashon Aninus, somebody who, Rachman Lislan, is in mourning, an Onen. Why? He says because On Ben Peles was an Onen his whole life. His whole life he was an Onen, he was mourning. What's pshat? Says the Chafetz Chaim, he explains, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, famous Gemara, that On Ben Peles, says the Gemara, his wife saved him. His wife said, "What are you getting involved with this mechleika? Stay away." So said On to his wife, "But I can't. I have to continue. I have to go along with Korach." She said, "Why?" She said, "Because I swore to him. I swore to him that I'd be part of his gang, and I can't. How can I? What can I? Can't back out." So she goes, "Listen, you're not going to gain anything. Right now, Moshe is the leader. So what do you want to do? You're going to fight against Moshe. So who's going to be the leader? Korach. So what's the difference if you're a Talmid of Moshe, a Talmid of Korach? You're a Talmid in any case. So what?" She said, no, I have to. So what did she do? Famous Gemara, she took off her hair covering by the door. So when the Korach's men came, they saw this woman with her hair uncovered. They didn't go in, and that's what saved them. So asked the Chafetz Chaim, he said, "I don't understand." He said, "Why? What's pshat that he says, no, I have to go through with it because I swore?" What kind of a shvua is that? He's like, for example, a person makes a shvua, "I'm not going to put on tefillin tomorrow." Is that a good shvua? No. Why? You can't swear against the Torah. The Torah says you have to put on tefillin. You can't swear I'm not going to put on tefillin. So Mela, I swear I'm going to be in a machlekas of Korah. Yeah, there's no, that's a meaningless shvua. So what's pshat? He says, you have to say, therefore, that On Ben Pelet thought that he was doing a mitzvah. Right? Otherwise, how could he say, "I swore to Korach"? He so obviously felt it. He was doing a mitzvah. And therefore, that's why, even after his wife told him, "Look, what's the difference? You're going to be a Talmid of Moshe, a Talmid of Korach," he still said, "No, I have to do it." Meaning, he thought, "This is a mitzvah. I got to go through with it." But what happened? In the end, he saw how Korach and men were swallowed up, etc. He saw how they were wrong, and therefore, what he thought was a mitzvah turned out to see. He saw, boy, obviously no mitzvah over here. Look at Korach, everybody was killed. It wasn't a mitzvah. Mela, that's what he says, is he was Aninus his whole life. He was mourning his whole life. on what he had done. Because here he said, I don't believe it. I thought I was doing a mitzvah the whole time. And I wasn't. I was doing an avera. So therefore, to do tshuva, he was in aninus his whole life. Mourning his whole life. That's an interesting shot. Why did she take off her hair covering? Why dafka that? So the Bris Shalom says the following. Based on another Gemara, there's a woman, her name was Kimchis. And Kimchis was a very special woman. In that, five of her sons were all Kohanim Gdolim. Right? She had the schus of having five sons Kohanim Gdolim. So she was asked, why? How were you Zoche? Says, the reason I was Zoche to have five sons that were Kohanim Gdolim was that the ceiling of my house never saw my hair. In other words, she was very makpid to make sure she always kept her hair. Even in her house, behind closed doors, she made sure that she had her hair covered the whole time. And that's because she had the five Kohanim Gdolim. Mele says that's what happened over here. She was trying to convince her husband, On Ben Pelet's wife, convincing her husband, On, saying, listen, you know, like we said before, what are you bothering going after Korach? What's the difference? You know, what are you going to be a Talmid to Korach? Be a Talmid to Moshe? You're a Talmid in any case. So he tied it. Well, okay, fine, you're right. Right? It's either I'm going to be a Talmid to Moshe or to Korach. But what happens later on? There's no more Moshe, there's no more Korach. No more me, but my sons can be a Kohen Gadol. So I'm doing it for my sons. So how did she stop him from continuing with the machloikis? She uncovered her hair. Because we see from the Mice with Kimchis that if a woman covers her hair, her son will be a Kohen Gadol. Mashma, if she doesn't cover her hair, her son won't be a Kohen Gadol. So Mimele, to prevent him from having this tiny hair, her husband saying, look, okay, I won't be, my son will be a Kohen Gadol. No, he won't. Took off her hair covering. My son won't be a Kohen Gadol anymore. The Mela took away the last tiny hair. Yeah. Schloss, interesting remez of the word machloikes, spelled mem ches lamed kuf taf, says the letters itself represent what machloikes is all about. A mem is when you write a mem, right? You at the bottom you have the base of the mem, and then the thing that coming down next, we have a little tiny opening. So that's how machloika starts. Machloika starts with the mem, little tiny opening, a little thing, and then what happens? Ches has a big opening on the bottom. So it starts from something little argument until it blows up until it's big, and then lamed is a very tall letter. The machloikas goes up to Shemayim. Then Kuf is a very low letter. Then it goes down to the depths and ends up with the Taf, which is a very solid letter. It's 2 feet. Meaning that the machloikas unfortunately stays around for a long, long time after. It says after Korach's time, it says, Vayishma Moshe v'yipol al panav. So Lamaisa, it says in the pasuk before, "Vikalu al Moshe ve'al Aharon, va'yomer leim rav lechem," etc. So they came to Moshe and Aaron, but then the pasuk Dala says, "Vayishma Moshe ve'yipol al panav." So why did Dafka Moshe? Why did Aaron fall on his face? Why Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Divrei Nechemia says, based on I think we mentioned it before, this midrash, that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to write the Torah, so he wrote the whole Torah, but he had a couple of extra drops left off when he finished up the writing. Two little drops left. And the Midrash says that Hashem took these two drops and put it on Moshe's forehead, and from there came the rays of light that were the Karan or Panav of Moshe Rabbeinu. From these two drops of ink that were left over from writing the Sefer Torah. So the question is asked, what's pshat? How could there be leftover ink? Hashem didn't know how much the Sefer Torah takes. Where does extra ink come from? So they say it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, because he skimped on the ink in two places. Where are they? Where were they? And the beginning of Vayikra El Moshe, beginning of Sefer Vayikra, he wrote the Aleph small. He didn't want to write that, oh, Hashem called to me. And his anivas and his humility, he wrote Kilu Vayikar. He wanted to write Vayikar. Hashem said, no, you have to write Vayikra. No, I only want to write Vayikra. He said, okay, make a Shara, write the smaller. You know, smaller. So the extra ink from that aleph, that's one little bit of extra. And then later on, when it said the Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam, as we saw in last week's parsha or in parsha's velosa, it was anav mikol adam. He didn't want to write that. Did he use anav mikol adam? So he took out the yud. He wrote al ayin nun vav instead of ayin nun yud vav. So from that extra yud, there's also like a little extra ink, and that's the ink that Hashem put on his head, and that's the karen or pana. Amemele, what happened? Here comes Korach and his men approaching Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer aleihem, Rav lechem, ki kol eidah kulam kadoshim. Everybody's kodesh. Uvetzocham Hashem. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. What does tisnasu mean? Why are you lording over everybody? Everybody's great, not just you. Why are you lording? So Moshe saying, I'm lording over. I'm a big balgaiva. I'm a big balgaiva. What about these two rays coming from my head, which shows my humility? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I guess they're not there anymore. If they're telling me I'm a big balgaiva, obviously these two, karnot that's supposed to come from my humility are obviously not there, not on my face anymore. So what did he do? Fell on his face. The Chazal that says, what did he hear? It says, Vayishma Moshe Mipal Vanav. What did Moshe Rabbeinu hear that made him fall on his face? So one Chazal, we'll see the Rashi brings a different, but one Chazal says that, Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud, that he heard that there were chosh at him concerning Eishes Ish. And he was involving himself, Chas v'shalom lachshov al zeh, but that they were chosh at him that he was with married women. So what happened? And Korach's men, they, because of that, they were choshed Moshe Rabbeinu, and they went and they didn't want their wives also to be get mixed up with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they all were mekana their wives and sent to and said, don't go and be alone with Moshe Rabbeinu like you do to a sota, etc. And because they're choshed him for that. So everybody, all the Mephoshim, asked the obvious question: how could they be Choshen Moshe Rabbeinu? Where did that come from? Where did that come from? They're Choshen Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he's hanging. He goes with married women. How could that be? So a couple of answers. The Evan Shoham says, based on the Chazal we saw before with the wife of On Ben Pelet, she acted in a very strange way. You know, she was so protective of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, here her husband wanted to go with Korach. She says, no, don't go with Korach. Don't go get Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, why? I swore to him. And, no, but what's the difference if you're his Talmud or his Talmud or his Megid? Why is she so overprotective of Moshe Rabbeinu? So they saw that. They said, it must be that she has something going with Moshe Rabbeinu over here. That's why she's being so protective and doesn't want her husband to go after Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was one reason why they're choshen. The Ksav Sofer is a little different. It says that whenever something bad happened with Chal Yisrael, this, for some strange reason, the women were never involved. You know, the eagle. Terrible eagle is Av. They worship the eagle. Women not involved. Right? Meragli. Right? When Meragli, women weren't involved. They didn't cry. The women weren't involved. Only the men. So what's Pshat? It's like it seems like the women were like, you know, like with Moshe Rabbeinu the whole time. They were behind him the whole time. So that says the Ksav Sofer for why they were choshen Moshe Rabbeinu for Eishes Ish. Rashi says a different pshat, though, which makes things difficult. Rashi says, Ve'yipol al panav mipnei ha-machloikes. He fell chazad ha-machloikes. Shekvar ze bi'adam sirchon revi'i. Because this is the fourth time they messed up. Why? They messed up by the eagle, like we said. And then Parshas Baloscha by the Misoninim, and then Parsha Shlach, last week's Parsha by the Miraglim, and now again here's Korach, Machlekes Korach number 4, and because of that he fell on his face. So question is, why didn't Rashi say the reason we said before the other Chazal? Right? They say that when one's learning Rashi, you know, the godless is to try to, is not so much what Rashi said, but what Rashi didn't say. In other words, Rashi gets most of his perushim just about, there's chazals, different gemaras, midrashim, or whatever, and there's different midrashim on the various psukim, and Rashi chose the midrash chazal which gives the best shot in the pasuk shot in the pasuk. So yeah, sometimes you have to figure out, you know, why did Rashi choose this one? He could have chose that one. So here too, we have a chazal we just mentioned before that Moshe Rabbeinu Reuven fell on his face. Why? Because of their choshed and teishas ish. So how come Rashi over here says he fell on his face because of the fourth time that they went, you know, went off? What's the shot? Rav Ziskin Rottenberg from Lublin says the following: that what was bothering Rashi? Rashi was bothered by how could they have been choshed Moshe that he was hanging around with these married women. We know that Yehoshua says lo mash mitoch ha'ol, that Yeshua was next to Moshe Rabbeinu 24/7, always there with Moshe Rabbeinu the whole time, next to Moshe Rabbeinu, wouldn't leave Moshe Rabbeinu's side. If Yeshua was Moshe Rabbeinu the whole time, there's no chance for Yichud. Right? How can anybody say Moshe Rabbeinu is alone with women? He was with Yeshua was there the whole time. That's what's bothering Rashi. How could it be? Yeshua was there. What's the answer? Where was Yeshua during the Chet HaMeraglim? He wasn't with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was one of the Meraglim. Here's a chance, right? Yeshua was always Moshe Rabbeinu, but not when the 40 days were there and they were spying out of Israel. He was one of the spies. Mele, that's what Rashi's coming to answer. But I bothered Rashi, but Yeshua was with him the whole time. Says Rashi, no, this is the Sirchon Revi'i. There was the Egel, there was Misonim, there was the Meraglim, and now Korach. And that's why he's explaining how they could have been Choshev Eish Hazish, because Yeshua was one of the Meraglim. Another midrash says, "V'korach shepikeach haya umitone ha'aron haya mara l'shtutza." Says Moshe Korach, he was a wise man. He was a Levi. He was one of the of Kahat. He was carried the Aaron. He was one of those that carried the Aaron. So how could he have done such a crazy thing as he did the shtus? So the answer to the midrash: Ra'ash Shmuel haramasi yotzemi menu shiye parnas echad esar shana. He saw that in the future was going to come out from him Shmuel HaRamasi, Shmuel Navi, that was a leader for 11 years. That's the midrash. So what's the shot? Why did he do this crazy thing? Because Shmuel is going to come out from him. What's the connection? So Yonas and Ibishitz answers based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yuches. It says that Yeshayahu HaNavi gave a klala to Yisrael that they shouldn't have amongst them Sar Chamishim. What's Sar Chamishim, asked the Gemara? What was that supposed to mean? So Sar Chamishim is anymore two possibilities. Either means a Parnas al Tzibur, a leader of the Tzibur. And why? What's its connection to Chamishim? It says that a leader has to be at least 50 years old. He shouldn't be a leader if he's less than 50 years old. Or another pshat, says the Gemara, what's Sar Chamishim? Don't read Al Tikre Chamishim Ela Michumashim. It has to be somebody who knows Chumash. He has to be a Talmud Chacham. He has to know. He can't be a leader unless he knows Chumash. Chamishim Chumash Torah Chumashim. So it says Rabbi Yonason, what's the right pshat? Does a leader have to be 50? Does he have to know Chumash? So you have to be Lachora Machmir and have to have both. He has to be 50 just in case, and he's also got to know Chumash. Korach, however, he was not 50. How do we know he wasn't 50? Because, as the Midrash said, Korach, who was a wise man and carried the Aaron. Now, who carried the Aaron? The Levim, they were working in the Mishkan. To work, the Levi that worked, he only worked from Gil 30 to 50. So after 50, you don't working anymore. So it says that Korach carried the Aaron. Well, of course, Korach carried the Aaron, meaning he wasn't 50 yet. So how could he be a Parnas? How could he be, he wants to be the leader? He says, I want to be the leader. He says, how can you be the leader? You have to be 50. You're not 50 yet. So Korach said, I don't hold like that. That's not the job of the Chinese. You have to know Chumash. I know Chumash. He said, said, wait a second, but Korach, that's one pshat. But what about the other pshat? Maybe you have to be older 50? He said, no. He said, I thought, but I'll prove it to you. You don't have to be 50. He said, Because he saw that came out from him, Shmuel, who was a leader for 11 years. We know, how old did Shmuel live to be? 52 years old. He died at 52. If he was a ruler for 11 years, meaning he started when he was 41 till 52. 41 means he was before he was 50. Ah, that's what Korach saw. He saw that was came out from who? Shmuel. Shmuel was a leader, said the Midrash, for 11 years. He died at 52, meaning by 41 he was already a leader. So says Korach, I see from here, you don't have to be 50. The Pshat in the Gemara is not like that in Mandamar. It says you have to be 50. All you have to know is Chumash. I know Chumash, so therefore I can be the leader. Another idea in this Midrash. Right, that he was a Chacham Gadol and they carried the Aron, so why did he do the Shnus, etc.? What's the connection? The Bircha Shimon says the following, based on the Midrash, that there was Korach wanted to prove his point, or we'll see in a minute what his point was supposed to be, that he made up the following analogy. He says, you know, what is all these mitzvahs and things? He says, listen to this analogy. He says, there was once a poor almana, poor woman, no husband, and had a couple of daughters, and very poor. And she had one field, one little field. That was her whole livelihood had to come from that field. So what did she do? She got ready to plow. Along comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, wait a minute, stop. You can't plow with a shor and a chamor together. She goes, oh, okay, fine. So changes that. Plow some other way. She goes, okay, good, now I'm going to plant. He says, wait, stop! You can't plant, it's like kilayim, you have to be careful, you can't plant two different types. Oh, okay, fine. She didn't plant, okay, fine. Then she plants one type, it grows. She goes, okay, good, now I'm going to cut it down and take everything. He says, wait, not so fast! She says, what? Leket, shichacha, peya, you have to leave all the gifts for the poor. You're poor, but you still have to leave for other poor people. You can't take the corner, you have to leave the things that fall, etc. Lecha shicha peya, you can't take it. She says, okay, fine. So then she takes what she can take, and she wants to eat it. She says, no! Stop! Now what? Truma, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, give it. She says, this is getting ridiculous. So she says, forget it, this is ridiculous. So what'd she do? She sold her field. What is this? Give this, give that, give this. And forget the field. So she sold the field and she bought two sheep. So you figure it, she'll have the wool and have to be able to make like warm blankets from, you know, from the wool. And she'll have babies with the sheep and then she'll shech them and have it for food or whatever. Fine. So what happens? Has the first baby. She says, oh, great, first kid. Along comes Ara now. He says, wait, not so fast. Give me that baby. He says, what are you doing? He says, Bechor. Bechor to the Kohen. Give me the Okay, so it's getting cold now. You know, I'm going to get some, it's getting winter time. I'm going to get some wool from the sheep. So she starts, you know, she shears the sheep. Along comes Aaron. Wait, not so fast. Rishis Agez. First shearings. Thank you. Takes the Rishis Agez. She goes, oh my gosh, okay, so I'm hungry. She takes the sheep, shechs it, right, to have something to eat. What happens? Aaron says, wait! Zroa, l'chayayim, keva, right? You have to give the shoulder, the jaw, the stomach to the Kohen, give it. She goes, well, this is so ridiculous. I'm making this Kodesh, cherem. Says, oh, says Aaron, kol cherem l'kohanim. She takes all the sheep, and that's the end of that. It's the midrash. So what's pshat? What is pshat? I mean, give this, give that, give this, give that. Korach, did he have a point? So, truth is, he doesn't have a point. Why? Because it seems you're giving, but really, when you give what Hashem tells you to give, you're not really giving, you're really taking. Right? It says, like, by tzedakah, right? It says what? Aser kadei shatit asher. You give miser and you become rich from it. What do you mean? I'm giving money. Yeah, you give it to Hashem. Some other way we'll bring you money. So you don't lose out, like Rambam says. A person never loses out by giving tzedakah. You give here, Hashem gives you even more back. You don't lose out. So it seems like you're giving, but really you're taking. Right? So it's more than the usher is doing for the ani. The ani is really doing for the usher. He's getting even more. So we may let Korach. Okay, says the Midrash, that he was the one that carried the Aron. Now Korach, therefore, should have learned this lesson.
How?
Because it says by the Aron, the Aron was Noseh es Nosav. He said, oh, I'm going to carry the Aron. The Aron needs me. The Aron doesn't need you. Hashem says, look, the Aron's carrying you. You're going like this and you're floating in the air. It's Noseh es Nosav. It carries the ones that carried it. And that's the shkafa of everything with mitzvahs, right? I'm giving, I'm helping the poor. You're not helping the poor is helping you, but you're giving him, he's doing more for you, you're doing for him. That's a lesson we learn from the Aron. Mimela, that's what Chazal was saying. Korach, who was a smart guy, and he carried the Aron, Marala, so why did he do the shtus? What was he trying to get at over here? This mashal, look, this woman giving. How could he even have thought such a thing? He was a smart guy, and he carried the Aron, says the Midrash. Meaning, he should have learned from the Aron that he was carrying, that there's no say, there's no sub, that all this giving, you're really taking. So how could he have done this? Another thing the Chazal tell us that Korach did, was he brought a talus that was kulo tchelis, all the color of tchelis, and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, does this need tzitzis or not? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, four-cornered garment needs tzitzis. Ha! Says Korach, that's ridiculous. I'll show you a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer doesn't need tzitzis. Why? He says, madach, you have a big white talus, all white talus, and one little, or four little strings of tchelis, paters is talus, that's all you need. So here I have a talus with a tchul of tchelis. So I have to have these four little strings of tchelis? The whole thing is tchelis. I was shot. So, mashallah, madach, domer, why is this a ridiculous taina? Mashallah, to the following. There's a truck that was from a carried tires, kind of a Goodyear, whatever. Okay, so he has this huge truck filled with tires, carrying it, hauling these tires, right, in Goodyear. So, pulls up into a garage, and he says to the guys working there, I want you to take off my wheels, you know, take off my tires I'm driving on, and then I'll drive away. He says, what are you talking about? Take off your wheels and get to drive away? How do you expect to drive if you don't have tires on your car or your truck? So he said, I'm going to drive with a kal v'chomer. He says, what are you talking about? He said, I'll make a kal v'chomer. If I had a truck that was empty and I had just four little tires on it and that I could drive with, so here I have a truck full of tires, filled up with tires, what kal v'chomer I can drive? I need these four little things on the bottom. Ridiculous, right? But that was Korach Taina. So what was his Taina? So Korach Taina was that he says, what do you need all these to be so didactic in the mitzvahs? Has to be like this, has to be like that, you know. And you know, you have to have these four little things. Who cares about that? You have to see the tzitzis, and that reminds you of the yam and the colors around the yam, and then the shemaim and the kisaka. But what do you need all that for? You know, look at this huge talus full of tchid. They're finished. What do you have to have this and the knots and the things and with everything like that? Your tefillin has to be exactly square, and you have a special. You can only dove in mincha until a certain time, and everything. All these times. What are you so? Bekitzer, he said, it's enough to be a good Jew in the heart. What do you need to do all these details for? So, what's the answer? The answer is because, Korach, you don't understand that there's depth to these things. Okay, we have these various tamim, you know, it reminds you of this, it reminds you of that, helps your mind keep safe cover, but there's much, much, much more depth. Depth to the mitzvahs. It's not just what meets the eye. These tamim, like we say, is why is it called tamim a mitzvah? Tam means flavor. It's not the reason. It doesn't say sibot a mitzvah. It doesn't say these are the reasons of the mitzvah. It's a tam means like a flavor, like you put some flavoring into the pot of soup, right? That's not, you don't eat flavoring, it's by itself. It just gives flavor. So it helps us do the mitzvahs when we understand a little bit. But they're much, much, much deeper than meets the eye. Mimele, what was Korach? Korach thought that, what do you have to get all these details? Who cares? He means he's missing the depth of the mitzvah. Mimele, what happened to him? He went down into the depth. As it says, "V'yerdu heim b'chol asher lahem chaim shola." They went to the depth to show. You think that the mishmas are superficial? Eh, why do you have to be so careful? No, they're very, very deep. To show him how deep it is, he went into the depth. Let's conclude with the last thing as we get close to Beinu's money. One little vort. Says Moshe Rabbeinu told them by the bear al Korach v'chol adasolei mor boker v'yoda Hashem es asher lo. Says in the morning Hashem's gonna show es asher lo. So Rav Baruch Rosenblum Shlita, he says that that you know Bachram have to realize that it's very important to keep starim not only in yeshiva during zman but also Beinu's money. You know, like, okay, you know, during Zman, okay, Zman's over, I can sleep in, I can do that, or I never sleep in during Zman, Chas V'Shalom. But, you know, Beinu's money, okay, Beinu's money, it says, no, he says, how can you tell the difference, you know, to separate the men from the boys, as they say? Well, who's going to get up in the morning, right? Who's mainly that's hinted to over here in the Pasuk. Boker v'yoda Hashem es asher lo. Right, in the morning, Hashem's going to see who's with him. Who is really with him, and who gets up in the morning? Not only during Zman, but also during Beinu Zman. Shal Zoyche to have a stark Beinu Zmanim, and instead of being those involved with terrible plague of Machloikas, we Zoyche to bring Shalom into the world, and when there's Shalom, it'll be Bezrat Hashem, Mashiach Tzikenu, Bimhir V'Yameinu. Amen.